May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1003. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace, to know and do his will. Hymn 1003.
The Lord to bless his words to the profit of our souls as we read together from the second book of the Kings and chapter 4. the second book of the Kings and reading chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went out from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. It shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine husband. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up my loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. He went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in, and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. We'll leave the reading there. May God instruct us from it. May he now come and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most gracious and ever merciful Lord God, we come tonight desiring to be blessed with that true prevailing prayer as we come to approach the mercy seat. And we come through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe, therefore, it is he instead of us is seen as we approach to that majesty on high, our Father who is in heaven. And O Lord, do grant then at this time we may pray for those things which are in accordance with the will of our God. and we desire to come with thankfulness in our heart for so many, many blessings. O Lord, how favoured we are in so many ways. Lord, granted that health and strength that enables us to be here. And Lord, we're thankful for it. And we pray, therefore, that our gathering tonight may not be in vain, but that thy good Spirit, that Holy Spirit, may indeed descend upon us and come upon each one of us and touch our hearts so that we may be blessed with that gracious and good and true spirit of worship. O Lord, we may worship in spirit and in truth. We pray for those who are not here, those who are unwell, those who are old and feeble, those who are at home with their children. Bless each one, and any others who are not here. There may be those who perhaps could have been here and are not. Lord, touch their hearts with thy goodness and mercy, which may indeed move their spirits to come and worship here with thy people. And so, Lord, as we come here together tonight, we pray that our hearts may be touched, we may not remain in a cold and hard condition. Lord, we know by nature our hearts are as stone, but we pray, Lord, tonight, if that is so, that would take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. O Lord, a true heart, a heart that really desires to bow down and to worship the ever-living and true God. Deliver us, Lord, from worshipping idols. Deliver us, Lord, from worshipping ourselves. But grant that we may be ever concerned to worship Almighty God, that one who holds our life in his hands. Lord, may we recognize and realize we have to deal with the Almighty God. Lord, let us never bring thee down to anything other than that one who Isaiah saw high and lifted up. Oh, Lord, grant us true and great views of our God. And Lord, may those views be bring honour and glory to thy great and holy name. For Lord, thou art worthy to receive all honour and praise. And Lord, do grant that it may be found in our hearts to come and praise and honour our God. Lord, we think of those words, praise waiteth for thee in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Lord, if there are any who have made a vow, and Lord, if they receive their answer, O Lord, may praise indeed enter and come up to thee, O Lord, in Zion, in the church of God. And so, Lord, do hear prayers, hear individual prayers, hear united prayers for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Lord, how we need the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us. Oh Lord, do not pass us by. Oh Lord, we tremble when we think the Lord might pass us by. Oh Lord, come to us where we are. Indeed, Lord, thou knowest where we are. Lord, we think of that wonderful occasion of Zacchaeus. Lord, that it's come where he was. And that it's look up and commanded him to come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Oh, Lord, we pray. There may be some who may be perhaps in that way, inquisitive, desiring to have a view of the Saviour. Lord, if that is such, we pray that we'll go to them and look to them where they are, and command that they may come down and enjoy that wonderful blessing of thyself dwelling with them. O Lord, we pray in this day and age in which we live, we may still behold the wondrous work of God. O Lord, how we need it. Lord, how we need it desperately. For Lord, we see so much lukewarmness. Lord, so much carnality. So little reality in the things of God. But O Lord, we pray that we'll arise and do great things. We believe we have a great God who is able to do for us each far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to come in faith, nothing wavering, pleading that thou would appear and do great things. O Lord, that we may have indeed something to speak about, something to be able to be joyful about. Lord, the evidence of that blessed and gracious and glorious work of God in our souls. And so, Lord, we plead, O Lord, do not pass us by. Come, Lord, to us in whatever condition we're in, and grant that we may be drawn unto thee. We may see, Lord, a blessed and wonderful attraction in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may see how very suitable he is to all our needs. Lord, whatever they may be, let us hear those gracious words. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. O Lord, we pray that those gracious words of the Saviour may find a place in our hearts, or may we be longing to come to thee, and we pray we may know then that drawing power which is outside of the things of nature, which may draw us unto thee. And so, O Lord, look upon us tonight. We've gathered here, Lord, as a little company, unworthy of thy blessing, unworthy of thy favour. But Lord, do hear those prayers that have gone up, seeking for thy favour and seeking for thy blessing. O gracious God, then, come, we pray, and do us good. We're thankful, Lord, for the word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for those accounts we read together tonight. O Lord, for the miracles that were brought about in those days long ago. Lord, those things which were indeed too hard for men and women, Lord, were possible with our God. And although, Lord, we know we've moved on many years since then, yet, Lord, we're thankful to know we come tonight to worship the same God, that God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, we pray then we may come unto thee with that living faith, nothing wavering. O Lord, may we hear those words, doubt no more. O Lord, come and turn again our captivity. O Lord, come again and touch our hearts. Grant us, Lord, that turning unto thee. For, O Lord, we know that if thou dost turn us, we shall be turned. Turn us, Lord, away from the vanities of life. Turn us, Lord, unto thyself. We may be found amongst those who are true seekers, who truly earnestly pray for the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, may we count the blessing of the Lord so much greater than all the things of this carnal life in which we live, which we realise, or at least some of us do, perish with the using, will all vanish away, will all be burnt up. Lord, we know thou remainest. And so we pray, Thou wilt set our hearts and our affections upon things above and not on things of the earth. Grant, gracious God, we may be found a spiritual people, not an earthy people, not a carnal people, but a people seeking after the liveliness in their soul. O Lord, that nearness unto the Saviour, with that constant prayer, we would see Jesus. O Lord, come and reveal thyself unto us, as thou dost not unto the world. Indeed, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O come, gracious God, deliver us from the wrath to come. Deliver us, O Lord, from ourselves. Deliver us, Lord, from that state of unbelief. Give us grace, Lord, to believe the word of God. And so, Lord, come, we earnestly pray tonight. Come to us, Lord, where we are. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Oh, Lord, we plead for thy blessing. Let us not come, Lord, and go tonight without us receiving some encouragement, some instruction for our eternal soul. Oh, Lord, we pray thou would never leave us. Lord, therefore, encourage us. Look upon us, Lord, for good. Remember each one here. We pray for thy servants, the deacons, Lord, who have the responsibility of this church and congregation. Lord, help them, strengthen them, encourage them in their work, gracious God. And again, Lord, we would pray, if it could be thy will, thou wilt grant that living desire that they might be blessed with a pastor, a shepherd, after thine own heart, one, Lord, who may be able to come in and go out amongst them, who may be made a true blessing to them, that may indeed wonderfully direct them and unite them. They may be found walking before thee in the light of thy countenance. O Lord, hear us then when we pray for this thing. Then, Lord, once again, we pray for the persecuted and afflicted church, Lord, throughout the world. Lord, we look at ourselves here tonight. Oh, Lord, what comfortable surroundings, what ease of worship. Lord, we think of the thousands of Christians who do not enjoy this privilege, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, not when they might be executed. No, not when they might be sent to prison. Oh, Lord, we pray for such. Help, Lord, and strengthen in the trying hour, but when they stand firm for the things of God. And, Lord, help us, as we are so favoured, to pray for our afflicted brethren, our persecuted ones. Gracious God, we are sad, we're so self-centred so often. But Lord, may we be concerned about the whole church of God. And oh Lord, we pray we may yet know better days, if it could be thy holy will. Lord, we know we don't deserve it. We know, Lord, as a nation we've turned our back upon thee. Oh Lord, how grossly we've sinned. And yet, Lord, thy mercy is still lengthened out to us. Lord, we stand amazed. But we're thankful for it. And Lord, as we are still blessed with liberty, oh Lord, may the liberty be used for the salvation of yet many souls. Oh Lord, that might be a turning unto thee. We think, Lord, of this village of Swavesey and the surrounding villages. Gracious God, we pray that thy work may appear in many a heart. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be then a gracious ingathering of precious souls, of children. Oh Lord, that they may be moved by thy Spirit to come and gather here because they have a spiritual need. Oh Lord, do work mightily, we pray. We pray for our Queen, Lord, in her old age. We pray, Lord, that she may stand truly and firmly for the things of God. And oh Lord, may she set a good example and not be fearful of stepping out of line. But Lord, may she know the fear of the God far greater than the fear of man. O Lord, we pray for her. Bless her if it could be thy holy will. And so, Lord, we pray now. O, do come and look upon us for good. Lord, how we need thy Holy Spirit to preach and to hear. Lord, grant it, we pray, as we come asking it all with the forgiveness of every sin in the worthy and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 347. Lord, how many are my foes, many they that me oppose. Thou my strong protector be, all my safety is in thee. Hymn 347.
Thank you.
please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let us turn to the second book of the Kings, chapter 4, and the last clause in verse 13. The second book of the Kings, chapter 4, and the last clause in verse 13. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. This was an answer that this Shunammite gave to Elisha. Elisha recognized how kind she had been to him and to Gehazi in providing for them. And he comes then and asks her what she should receive. And he says, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And her answer was, I dwell among mine own people. Well, it's a wonderful testimony of the grace of God. Here she was offered, as it were, many worldly things. But we see God's grace shining forth in this way, that she wanted and she was content to dwell among her own people. And it would seem, therefore, that she desires to be found with the people of God. Not indeed being given something from the king or the captain of the host. These things, you see, were just worldly attractions. These things which would not really bring her any spiritual happiness. And so we see the result of the work of grace in this woman's heart. She came and said, I dwell among mine own people. And as we follow perhaps the position that she was in, there she was dwelling with her husband in this city of Shunem. And she saw Elisha come to and fro. And what did she do? She constrained him to eat bread. There was no need for her to do this. It would have cost her something in a financial way. But we see the Spirit of God moved her to do this as just an initial starting point. She was constrained. Well, so the question is, I wonder, in our lives, if we know the experience where we've been constrained to do something, to give something. The Spirit of God has moved us. This person wasn't, Elisha wasn't really known to her, and yet the Spirit of God moved her in this way to provide bread for this man, this prophet. I wonder again if we have the evidence in our lives where God has moved us to do something like this, or whether we've been very, again, self-centered, content to just provide for ourselves, just to spend our earnings on ourselves, perhaps put it in the bank to build up a bank balance. Well, here's this woman. She constrained Elijah. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Well, it didn't stop her now. He didn't say, well, I'm doing a good job and, you know, I'm being very generous and I'm providing for this man and people should think very well of me. She said to her husband, behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. The word of God instructs us in this. We are to do good unto all men. Don't forget that. All men. The beggar that knocks at the door. You're not to turn away. We are to give. We are to give. I'll tell you a little story, which I was told recently firsthand, so I know it's true. This man, who's an old man now, he said when he was a boy, he said somebody came to the house, I think he was staying with an aunt or something, a knock at the door, and this man came, and he heard the aunt speaking to this man, and the door was shut, and she came back in, and he said, "Who was that?" He said, "Oh, it was a beggar. What did he want?" "Well, he wanted some money." "Did he?" said the little boy. "Well, where is he?" He said, "I'll go and give him something." The little boy opened the door, went outside. The man had gone down the road. He called after him. He said, and eventually the man stopped and turned around, grabbed him, said, "What do you want?" The boy said, "I believe you want some money." He said, "Yes." So the little boy said, "Hold out your hand." He held out his hand and he got his little bag of pocket money. Instead of giving him this one coin, he emptied it all into the man's hand. And the man was amazed. And the man said to the little boy, he said these words. He said, "The Lord bless you." I've got no idea of the spiritual state of that man. But I'll tell you this. The little boy said, "God bless me." So, we have an example, don't we, of doing good unto all men. And this Shunammite did this. But not only that, you see, we're told, especially unto the household of faith. And therefore, we read on what this woman said to her husband. "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." Well, that wasn't a small thing, was it? That was a costly thing, and it meant an effort a number of ways. First of all, in constructing it and in paying for it, and then when the man came to look after him. There was a considerable effort, wasn't it, in this? You know, we read these accounts, don't we? They're there for our instruction. So they may be an example to us as to how we are to react in the day and age in which we live. We're all here. We're all comfortable, aren't we? We all have our nice homes and plenty of food to eat and clothes to wear. And I wonder whether we think about the poor, the beggars of this world, or whether we're like the Pharisee, we pass by on the other side. We don't want to dirty our hands. We don't want to get involved. My friends, you see, the true Christian spirit is to do good unto all men. And the love of God in our hearts would also affect our pockets. Now, I'm not speaking here about anyone or anything, but my friends, we need to recognize the truth of God's word. How important it is. And of course then we come down to these words. When Elisha recognized what she was doing, how kind she was, he desires to recompense her for that which she'd done. And we perhaps sometimes operate, we think, "Well, I've been pretty generous there, perhaps the Lord will reward me." You know, she didn't look for any reward, did she? She did it unto the Lord, not expecting any return. We shouldn't come, should we, expecting some return, perhaps for our generosity. We should do it unto the Lord, thinking for nothing again. But she brought a lovely answer, didn't she? She said, "I dwell among mine own people." It would seem that her real concern was for her spiritual blessing. She didn't want to wander away. She wanted to be found in that place where she was living. Didn't want to move away. Perhaps we're reminded of that wonderful little book of Ruth. Remember what Ruth was. She was came from the country of Moab, brought up there, a town and an area that worshipped the wrong god, and she married the daughter of Ruth, Naomi rather. And then, of course, Naomi's husband died, and Ruth's husband died, and Orpah's husband died. And the Lord moved Naomi to return to her own land. She heard the Lord had visited his people. It's a good sign, isn't it? There was an attraction there. The Lord had visited his people. She wanted to go back. And so she told her two daughters-in-law that she was going back, and they ought to return to their families in the land of Moab. And she tells them, would you tarry for them, that's for sons, till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, well, this is a good word, isn't it? Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. Why was she saying that? Was Naomi a wealthy person? Had she got a lot of things to offer? That wasn't the attraction. She says, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. That was the attraction. It was the people of God that were attracted to Ruth, and she'd only heard the testimony of Naomi. And yet how clear it was, there was something very real, something very special. And therefore she wanted to go and to be with Naomi. And not only to be with her, she said, where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. It was a good testimony, wasn't it? A good testimony. I dwell among mine own people. How do we stand tonight? Do we see, do we know the people of God as the salt of the earth? Do we want to be with them? We have that account in the Word of God, those people who were let go, and they could have gone anywhere. Where did they go? They went to their own company. If you were honest tonight, would you like to be here, or would you like to be elsewhere? And if you want to be here, why do you want to be here? Is it because you want to hear about the true God? Is it because your soul is on the stretch after God? Or are you waiting for the amen, when you can go out and, well, at least think about all the carnal things of life? Well, you know, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all wished the amen would come quickly, we could get out of the place. But what a blessing it is if the Spirit of God has caused a change, because it is only the Spirit of God. And you won't have come then just to tickle your fancy, just to get some enjoyment in your mind. Because the real truth is, you're becoming because of the need you have for your soul. You know, there were those days in J.C. Philpott's time. He was a very able preacher. The people came just to hear J.C. Philpott preach. They didn't come for their soul. They just came to hear the eloquence and the skill he had of dividing the Word of God. Well, it was, of course, the Spirit of God that ordained him to be able to do that. My friends, we don't want to come like that, do we? You see, Ruth didn't. She came because she saw the life of God in the soul of Naomi. She wanted to be with and to know that God. She wanted to dwell with the people of God. Just like this Shunammite here. She came and said, and their good words on there, I dwell among mine own people. Who are your own people tonight? Who are they? Are they your school friends? Are they your college friends? Are they your work friends, your workmates? Are they your neighbours? Or are they the church of God? Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to spend it with the worldly neighbours? Do you want to spend it enjoying the things of the world? Or do you want to spend it with Ruth and this Shunammite, praising God for his great grace, for his great favours? It may be that you feel tonight in a state where, well, you really don't want to go to hell. And also, really, you don't want to go to heaven. You may say, well, that's a strange statement. Well, it's not actually. Because I believe when the Lord perhaps begins to work in our heart, we realise, well, how terrible it is to go to hell, and yet to actually go to heaven and to dwell there praising God with the people of God doesn't have really any real attraction. And you're in no man's land. You don't know what to think and what to say. Well, let me tell you this. You can pray this prayer. You can pray that the Lord will give you a desire for heavenly things. And if you feel you can't do that, you can pray this. That the Lord will give you a desire for a desire to pray for heavenly things. Remember, a desire for a desire. Because you might read this tonight. I dwell among mine own people. And you might say, well, I don't really want to be there. You see, we have to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to pretend what we're not. Because God looks at your heart and he sees what you're like. You can't pretend to God. You can pretend to us, pretend to me and the rest of the people. You can't pretend to God. But to be able to come then, and you're in no man's land, you can't really say, I dwell among my own people. You can't really say, I want to be with the people of God. But you don't want to be in hell either. Well, my friends, you can pray. And may you pray earnestly from your heart that God might give you a desire for a desire for the things of God. Well, this woman said, I dwell among mine own people. Now then, if you were to come and to dwell among your own people, and by that I mean not those of the world, the people of God, the household of faith, the family of God, what do you expect to enjoy there? Well, surely you would desire to know something of spiritual union, spiritual communion, which you won't find in the world. You won't find that in the things of the world. And my friends, the things of the world today get very close to us. They come into our homes. My friends, it's a blessing if we're given that grace to seek after those spiritual blessings, a spiritual communion. And what is it centered in? What is the center of such a situation? It must come down to this: the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you may not really understand quite what you want. But may you hear the church of God, these people dwelling among mine own people, the church of God speaking about the things of God. I mentioned this morning, didn't I? And how important it is that we might be blessed with this union. Union with the living church of God. Because if the Spirit of God is working in our heart, our desire is to dwell among the Lord's people, then, you know, you'll lose sight of all those irksome things, perhaps, that some of God's children have. They're not perfect by a long way. But, my friends, what you will see is this. You'll see Christ in them. You'll see God's love towards them. And that will be the drawing attraction that unites them to them. It won't be all the jokes they can tell. It won't be all the long stories they can tell. My friends, it will be Christ that you can see. And you can observe. And that draws. What a blessing that will be. Then you'll be able to say, yes, I don't want anything else. I dwell among my own people. I dwell amongst the church of God. That's where I want to be. We will be tempted sometimes. You see, she was tempted, wasn't she, with these statements given before her of being spoken to by the king or the captain of the host. And you know, it's quite difficult to turn such offers down. If somebody came and said, well, I can introduce you to the queen or to the prime minister and they'll look after you and give you a good position. Maybe you're in a very poor state like this woman was, didn't have very much. Well, we all need grace then to turn down such advances. The devil does come and tempt us sometimes with the things of this world. Tempts us with temporal things. The trouble is, my friends, the blessing of these things doesn't profit the soul. It takes us away from God. The devil will bring things before you to tempt you. To see whether you'll go after the poor carnal things of life or whether you value Christ above all these things. You know, the knowledge of Christ is far greater than gold. Why do I say that? It has eternal value. Gold perishes. The things of time disappear. Those who know Christ are eternally blessed. What a favour it is then to be amongst those who are able to say, by the grace of God, it is by the grace of God, I dwell among mine own people. Do you count tonight the people of God your own people? Part of the family of God. You see, we're either part of the family of God or we're outside. There's no grey areas in the Christian life. There's those who are the Lord's and those who are not. I dwell among mine own people. Well, are you pleased to be here tonight? Are you pleased to come and hear about the things of God and the gospel? Do you desire spirituality in your life? Do you desire the health of your soul more than the health of your body? I dwell among mine own people. What does it really show to us? It shows this woman was content with her lot. Content with her lot. God had blessed her. And she was content with that condition that God had given her. We read, don't we? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, therefore, let us be content. It's It's a wonderful grace to be content. The Apostle Paul, in his life, as you know, had a very difficult life. A wonderfully blessed life, but an exceedingly difficult life. And he tells us when he wrote to the Ephesians, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now that's a great statement, that is. You ponder that. I have learned. He had to be taught it. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Oh, these are the words of God's servant Paul. He tells us, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Contentment in both of those situations, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, it'll be a blessing for you and me, my friends, if we understand in our lives the Lord has come graciously and has taught us to be content. It's a blessing, you know, because by nature we're not content. We want this, we want that. The Word of God tells us a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. My friends, if God has blessed your soul and blessed my soul with spiritual life, what reason there is to be content for his great blessing toward us? That doesn't mean to say that we are not still to covet earnestly the best gifts, the gifts of a greater knowledge of the Saviour. Of course, we should strive after these favours and blessings. But nevertheless, the apostle here lays down a statement which is so relevant. Today we live in a discontented world. Everyone wants more and more, more and more. They're not content. And that's what we are by nature. But my friends, do we know? Do we know the powerful Spirit of God upon us, giving us this contentment? And we look in our lives and we see how God's hand has been upon us. And the hand has been upon us to teach us this way. Teach us to be content. I have learned in whatsoever state, whatever the condition is, not just when all things are going beautifully and smoothly and everything's comfortable, but when things are difficult, when things are against us. Yes, Paul knew what it was, didn't he? How many times things were against him? All part of this learning process. Learning process. What's the effect? To make us more like our blessed Lord and Master. So the Lord Jesus Christ was content to do his Father's will. That's what he came to do. Do his Father's will. Didn't see great things for himself, did he? He came, my friends, to do his will of his Father. And as the children of God, you and I are called today to do the will of our God and to be content in whatever that means to you and to me. For the Apostle Paul, it was very costly. And my friends, to the Church of God, true Christianity is costly. And it means that we have to be brought down in our own estimation so that we know what it is to be content. Content with the path that God leads us in. Content to leave everything outside or forget everything else which doesn't truly benefit our soul, doesn't lead us closer to Christ. So many things today, my friends, lead us away from Christ. They don't draw us to Christ. They lead us away. The material world in which we live is so difficult to live in. We need the grace of God to give us this godly contentment, to leave aside all the material things of this world and to seek only the blessing of the Lord. You see, the Apostle Paul, again in this same epistle to the Philippians, and it's not without significance that the Apostle wrote to the Philippians after having suffered that great trial and difficulty in the jail at Philippi, after he was doing the Lord's will and obeying him when he was commanded to go and preach the gospel of Macedonia, and he was beaten and put in prison for doing the will of God. Well, we can imagine, can we not, by nature, how upset he might have been. But quite clearly, he had learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. There he was, in that contented state, praising and singing to Almighty God with Silas, his companion, at midnight. And the prisoners heard him. What a wonderful example for us today. Not to complain about our lot. Not to complain the situation the Lord has brought us into. But to be able to come and to sing praises to our God. Yes, in the face of opposition, when the things appear to be going so contrary, praises unto our God. Oh, my friends, the evidence of the grace of God in the soul, isn't it? Wonderful evidence. May we be found that. Well, the apostle, we see, having passed that way, he's able to write this epistle to the Philippians, and he's able to tell us, he comes that third chapter, as though he's concluding, he comes and says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You see, if we are to be found like this woman was here, saying, I dwell among mine own people. See, if we are dwelling amongst the church of God, surely here is the benefit and the blessing. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. See, there's our place of contentment, isn't it? Rejoicing in what the Lord has done. Dwelling amongst the people of God, hearing what God has done for them, hearing how precious Christ is for them, realizing what the Lord suffered on their behalf. And so the apostle goes on desiring to know more and more of Christ, and he tells us, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We read it, don't we? It's a very deep thought, isn't it? What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he spells it out a bit clearer. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, see, this Shunammite woman, she was willing to not receive any of these possible introductions or gifts. No, she wanted to dwell amongst her own people, the church of God, dwell amongst those who were true followers of the way of God. Like the apostle here tells us, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Well, I wonder tonight how we value the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that I mean this, a personal knowledge between your soul and God. How do you value that? It's told us here, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Aren't they wonderful words? And it is an excellent blessing to have a personal knowledge of Christ Jesus, because if it is so, then it's true. He is your Lord and my Lord. And it's far, far valuable. Far more valuable than anything else. As the apostle says, he counted all things but loss. By comparison, they were of no value. He's able to say, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. We lose sight, don't we, today, of the value of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater blessing, no greater favour than to know the love of Christ in our souls. To know that Christ loved us so much, he died upon Calvary's cross to atone for our sins. Because that knowledge is an eternal blessing. It so supersedes everything that this world can give. And the apostle is so right when he speaks these great and glorious words. He counts everything but dung and dross that I may win Christ and be found in him. That means to be united to Christ. Well, do we want to be united to the world? Do we want to be united to Christ? And join in with this woman who said, I dwell among mine own people. I don't want anything else. I dwell amongst mine own people. Now, just moving on quickly, this woman's faith was tested. You might think, well, now she made that wonderful statement. Now surely life will be plain sailing. Well, first of all, the Lord greatly blessed her. And blessed her with this child, which clearly she never thought she would have. She said, because she was old and her husband was old and there was no real possibility. But you see, she was called and she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She couldn't really believe that God would be gracious to her and grant her a child. But the Lord did come. The Lord had heard her desire that she might dwell among the Lord's people and not receive other things. The Lord blessed her with this wonderful gift, but in a very similar way to Abraham, when Abraham had to be brought to that place to give up his child, his only child. Here was this woman brought to that place where a child died. Her faith was surely tested. She came before, she came to Elisha. And we see her faith stretched out as she was asked, is it well? She said, it is well. My friends, you know, if we are members of the Church of God, it is well. It is well. Whatever situation we are called to pass through or to endure, it is well. And it was well with this woman, and it was well with her child. The Lord appeared. The Lord did great things for her. Her faith was tested. And you know, even if we're blessed in this way, I pray we all may be blessed to be able to come and say, I dwell among mine own people. We should still expect our faith to be tested. And it's a good thing it is. We don't want to end our journey and find that we don't possess the faith of God. So therefore the Lord tries us. The Church of God is a tried and tested people. Paul was. He was tested, wasn't he? And he was brought to this place to desire he might win Christ and be found in him, not having his own righteousness. Oh, my friends, bless God for that. If you've been brought to that position, to discard your righteousness, recognizing it as filthy rags, not worth anything at all, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here we see the true desire of an exercised and lively child of God. And I, my friends, in this day and age in which we live, may we be blessed and granted a wonderful favour of desiring this union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his grace we hope to be with throughout eternity. My friends, we won't get to heaven and be a stranger to Christ. If you and I get to heaven, it'll be because Christ knows us, because Christ has called us, and because we know the Saviour, because we've heard his voice. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's the wonderful truth, isn't it? If we're here saying, "I dwell among mine own people," it'll be from our heart, and we will desire to be found a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to sit on the sidelines, not to try and pretend that we're something else. The Spirit of God has moved us, like it moved this dear woman here, to say, "I dwell among mine own people." It'll be that you and I mean and desire to truly dwell among God's people. And if we dwell among God's people, what does it mean? It means we want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was. He followed his Saviour, whatever the cost. Remember, the Word of God tells us, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's a promise. No suffering, no reigning. No suffering, no glory. Don't expect to go through life without suffering. The Lord Jesus tells us, through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom. This woman here, blessed with this faith to say, "I dwell among mine own people," she passed through tribulation. Tribulation is the path of the church of God, but by his grace, you and I will end up in glory. Oh, what a wonderful prospect then to the suffering Church of Christ. But oh, tonight as we ponder this testimony of this account in the Word of God, may we be able to unite together in answer to such a statement as Elisha made, as he asked her, "Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, and may you and I answer, when we're tempted perhaps to go after the things of this world, to say humbly, truthfully, "I dwell among mine own people." Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £745, and on Monday for the Needy Cases Fund, £795, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, followed by a church meeting, and the prayer meeting will be addressed by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Pont will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And we hope he'll address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And our friends at Fenstanton hold a special service for Ascension Day on Thursday evening. Let us close with hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct right skillful and kind and brave to protect. To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Oh. grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.